the same Tony and Jenny you've come to love give you an extra dose every week.
I've done murals.
You have done murals. Off in the corner is really odd. There was a questionable chipmunk and a squirrel.
On their other podcast, Junkin' with Jenny.
And I don't know if one was giving a piggyback ride to the other.
They were making a churl.
That was questionable.
Here's how it works. You send in questions and pictures about items or spaces in your home that you want to repurpose. Then Tony and Jenny give you ideas and techniques on how to do it.
Letter says, hi, Tony and Jenny. I just purchased my first house. I'm discovering the joy of fixing and changing things to my taste. It's not cheap.
And how to do it on a budget.
We did levels, Jerry. Levels.
From chandeliers to bars to sleds to you name it. Tony and Jenny have you covered.
That stuff, you don't need to prime or anything. It just goes right on the metal and stays right on the metal.
With unique ideas on how to make reclaimed items the star of your home. Complete with insight on what works and what doesn't.
The plumb bobs are stupid f***s. And
I think it's the first time anyone has sworn on this show.
Well,
congratulations.
Whatever. It's Junkin' with Jenny.
There you go.
Watch each episode at junkinwithjenny.com and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you download podcasts.
50 Shades of Grout.
50 Shades of Grout. That's great.
All the things you can do inappropriately with one bottle of grout.
It's a great product.
Junkin' with Jenny.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, a romantic weekend away turns dreadful when the invisible guests won't allow the living to sleep. Also, could an entity from a dream actually manifest to terrorize during the waking hours? Are there other paranormal beings that have black eyes besides children? And a listener shares the gift that she found at the grave of her beloved pet and what it could mean. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online. Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm doing lovely.
Good.
The day this airs is not Halloween, but it is Halloween the day we're recording this.
Mm-hmm.
So I just got, and this is retrospectively speaking, so if you're hearing this, you can go back on our Facebook page and see some of the stuff we're talking about after we've done it, but we have not done it yet. Assuming we're able to do it tonight, assuming there's an internet connection, assuming that everything
works. Which is not working well right now.
Yeah, so assuming it all works correctly. We're doing a Facebook Live tonight, so I just got that all set up in the other room for later this evening. It was just, of course, perfect timing where last night, all of a sudden, it's like the internet's starting to go really slow. And normally, it's like just reset the router and things, mm-hmm. you know, correct themselves. Yeah, I mean, it's like kind of like some devices seem to be working okay, others not, and the soonest they can get a tech out here is tomorrow morning. So it's like, oh, that's great. The night that we really want to do the Facebook Live because it's Halloween and it's going to be, it's like, oh, let's hope for the best.
Right.
So there's always a phone connection, so I'm hoping we get something out of it. So you can check that on our Facebook page if you've not already watched that. Our phone number is 855-853-4802 to call in your Real Ghost Story. Of course, you can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you like the program and you want more episodes of it, our best episodes, every single week we put it out. It's called an EPP bonus episode. Stands for Extra Podcast Person Bonus Episode. You can get those at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month to get access there, or you can sign up for a full year, get 1 month free, and then claim yourself an extra, like a bunk bed bell or a phone call with us or a Skype call with us to discuss your ghost story in depth. We may even use that on a future episode of the program. So lots of extras there when you sign up for the yearly membership at ghostpodcast.com. I'm going to go over here now and get into our first story. Kimberly writes into us, it was Valentine's Day weekend and my spouse and I were driving through a chilly evening into the mountains. We had reservations at a quiet mountain hotel complete with dinner and amazing views. We arrived at the Victorian style hotel. We received our room key and headed up the numerous stairs to the top floor. Our room was small and quaint with a slanted ceiling that hovered close to the head of the bed. Red roses filled a vase on the small table next to a window that overlooked the parking lot. Outside, the wind was picking up, and we headed down into the ballroom for our dinner. And the reservation consumed a wonderfully cooked lobster and delicious potatoes as couples around us got engaged or reconnected on the dance floor while the band played 1920s tunes. Afterward, we wandered the lobby, admiring the old steam car, the music, and the room that had been decorated for weddings. We returned to our room, and I decided to look for an ice machine to cool our canned soda. I walked the quiet halls, past rooms and suites, but when I passed the stairs to the bell tower, I was startled by the sounds of children laughing. I was standing outside one of the suites, and I assumed the children were playing inside while their parents dined downstairs. I did think it a little odd that children would be in a romantic hotel over Valentine's Day. I continued, reached the end of the hallway without finding an ice machine, and returned in the direction I had come. When I passed the bell tower stairs again, the hairs on my arm stood up, and I noticed it was quiet. No sounds of children or televisions. I quickly returned to my room, and we enjoyed the rest of our evening and settled into bed. It was around midnight. I never sleep well the first night in a hotel. It's unfamiliar, and I tend to pick up every noise. The wind had intensified, rattling the window, and a tumbling noise was coming off the roof above us. I assumed it was the snow being shifted down the roof by the wind. The trees swayed, casting moving shadows on the walls. I struggled to fall asleep. At around 3 a.m., a new sound hit my ears. I concentrated on the sound, and it was like a bouncing ball being tossed against the walls in the hallway. I heard children laughing. Annoyed that their parents were allowing them to be up so late, I got up from bed, opened the door, and stuck my head outside. There was no one out there. Our room was at one corner of the hotel, so I could peer down the hallway, and then the other. No one was there. It was completely quiet. I closed the door, made sure to lock it, and returned to bed. As soon as I shut my eyes, the noise started again. I could hear footsteps running down the hallway, the ball bouncing against the wall, and the kids laughing. I got up and went back to the door and peered out the peephole and saw nothing at all. It was at this moment I began to feel that I was expecting something I shouldn't, or experiencing something I shouldn't. The rest of the night I hid under my covers but never slept. When my spouse awoke, I packed us up and went downstairs to check out. The desk clerk asked how I enjoyed my stay, and I said I couldn't sleep. The kids are playing all night in the hallways. She paused and said, "There are no children checked into the hotel." That was my first stay at the Stanley Hotel.
I like that one.
It's a good good story.
It's short and sweet, and I like how it leads up to where she was staying.
Yeah. You know, I really tried to find ghosts there.
Mm-hmm.
No luck at all. It's not as easy as the ghost hunters make it look.
Sure.
Where they just show up and, "Oh my God, there's something down the hall." Nope. I don't know. I literally wandered the halls by myself for several hours waiting for some of my friends to get there because they all showed up late. Like at 1 a.m. they finally got there. And I'm just like wandering, sitting in different rooms in like lounge areas in the basement. There's a little area with just some couches. And like anything? Nothing? Nothing. Nothing. I was even drinking too, hoping maybe that will like draw them in. It's like, ooh, maybe we can, this will, you know, because that sometimes seems to attract things.
Sure.
Nothing. Nothing at all. Very disappointing. But I had a good night's sleep there too.
Which that's paranormal in itself.
You know, honestly, that's a weird thing about these haunted hotels. I've only stayed in a couple hotels that I knew definitively to have a haunted history to them. And every time I've stayed at them, I've had some of the best sleep of my life. I'm not even kidding. It's weird. It's almost like something knows that I'm looking for it or I want to experience it or something. And it just, it goes up above and beyond to make sure that I'm not going to get that experience. Because I did. I slept the whole night through there. I don't sleep the whole night through anywhere. In our own house, I don't sleep the whole night through. And it was one of those things like, oh, I'm really refreshed. I slept great. The other one was in Michigan, another smaller haunted hotel, and slept just wonderfully. And my co-host across the hall was like, "Did you hear that noise in the hall all night?" No. And I know for a fact we were the only ones in that building.
Sure.
So that was even weirder. But yeah, I don't know. That's. I wonder if anyone else has ever had that experience in a haunted hotel where you just, you sleep wonderfully and you're expecting it's going to be like this, where you're up all night. I wonder if the significant other here in this story, you know, said she slept. I wonder if it was like a really good sleep or just a normal
I don't know.
It's a someone should, if anyone's had that experience of just the best sleep ever in a haunted place, let me know. I'm wondering if I'm the only one on that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Have we ever stayed at a place that we knew was definitively haunted?
Mm-hmm. When we stayed on Mackinac Island.
Yep. That place. And how did you sleep there?
Not well, just because it wasn't so much that there was something going on paranormal. It was just a very old inn, and like the pipes would creak and pop and stuff, and there was just noises that kind of kept me up.
I remember I slept normal, I think. Mm-hmm. I remember getting up in the night like I normally do. It wasn't swayed either way.
No.
Did you feel anything there?
Mm-hmm.
Any odd?
Yeah, I mean, I felt something was there. I knew what it was, but it wasn't anything bad. Yeah,
we've talked about that on the show before, yeah. Is that the only place we've stayed that's been haunted? That was like that haunted?
I think so.
Yeah.
I stay away from that.
Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. I believe the place we stayed at in Savannah was a newer build made to look old, right? It was out because it was outside of the main house, the bed and breakfast.
The house itself was old.
Yeah.
And then I think they had built like a carriage house. It's supposed to look like a carriage house in the back, but it was a newer building.
Unless it was over like the old carriage house that you couldn't fix. Or maybe it was the old carriage house. It's like one of those where they literally have to gut the whole thing to make it usable again.
Sure.
I don't know the story in that, but
no.
I felt nothing weird there.
No.
Bella writes in, "Hi, Tony and Jenny. My name is Bella. I'm from Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. I first heard your podcast in January, and I've listened to many of your shows since then and have become an EPP. What you are doing is very worthwhile. It's helped me not to feel alone, like what I've experienced is not all in my head. Thank you. I'm sure I'm not alone feeling this way. I got quite a few stories, and listening to other people tell theirs helps me to remember mine and helps me to feel validated. As a kid, I don't recall having anything happen that was paranormal. In my adult life, it has grown and evolved into something. I think there are two reasons for this. One, I became a nurse and worked in an acute care hospital where there must be unsettled souls and spirits. And two, I lived in an apartment where the previous tenant of 14 years died of cancer in the living room. Please let me preface this story with a bit of pertinent information. At the time, I was divorced, a divorced mother of three boys, all under the age of 10 years old. In December of 2001, I left my sons with my ex-husband because I truly felt that was best for them, as when we divorced, we were living with my in-laws while my husband went to college. So at the time of the divorce, my sons still lived with their father, both grandparents. They didn't change schools, as we were in a smaller community just outside of Edmonton. Didn't leave their friends, didn't leave their pets or their home. Grandpa owned his own company and worked from home, so they also had built-in child care, and never, ever did I go to daycare or have to go to daycare or have a babysitter. If I had taken them with me after the separation, they would have moved into the city, gone to daycare, moved schools, left three beloved family members, left three pets, which weren't my pets to take, and would have been working full-time nursing odd hours of the day and night. Hope you see why I thought it was their best interest to stay with Dad. Less disruption for them. Me, on the other hand, I nearly died. I went through 11 months of hell, drinking my problems and pains away, and nearly died in a car accident. I woke up in the ICU, attached to a ventilator, respirator, had chest tubes, and had an aortic arch repair. Anyways, I healed and went back to work. Fast forward to Valentine's Day of 2004. My life was getting better. I was a sober person again, and I was still nursing. My heart ached for my son still, tearing up just writing this, and I felt like a failure of a mother. But I stood firm in my belief I did the best thing for my sons by leaving them with their dad. So I was working a night shift and doing my 4 a.m. rounds, visiting each of my patients, taking vital signs and doing their fluid ins and outs. I went into one of my rooms, and the room was a big room. It had three patients and three beds in it. Two of those patients didn't need me to do vital signs or anything. I simply checked in on them. They both were sleeping. The third patient was awake and reading. I checked him, and I was leaning against the wall, writing on his clipboard, when I heard a man's voice a few inches from my right ear say very clearly, "Don't worry about the children." I turned to my right and said, "What?" Nobody was there. The young man in front of me was to my left and about 8 feet away at the lower level in the bed. The other two men were about 20 feet away and sleeping. This voice was clear and only inches from my right ear. I asked the young patient in front of me if he heard anything, and he said no and looked at me quizzically. Not wanting to freak him out, I left it alone and hung up the clipboard and left the room. I didn't finish my rounds. I went back to the nursing station and sat there puzzled. My charge nurse turned around and saw me. I must have had a funny look because she said, "Are you okay?" I didn't answer right away, but I told her what had happened, and she nodded and said, "This hospital is over 100 years old. How could it not have spirits or ghosts?" Since that time, I've not heard another disembodied voice, but I wonder if what that voice said was meant for me, regarding my sons, or if it was words I simply heard. I know I heard something that Valentine's morning. It made me physically and verbally respond to it. Anyways, thank you for your reading my story. I have more events that have happened in that hospital and in my old apartment, and I also believe I've had a visitation dream from my brother. Until hearing your podcast, I always thought it was just a dream, but now I believe he visited me. I'll save that story for the future. Again, thank you for your podcast. You're making a difference in people's lives. Peace, love, and respect to you.
I think maybe the car accident thinned her veil some.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I wouldn't be surprised if that's not the last time she hears something when she's at work.
Work or life in general, too. I mean, work because more so there's a lot of energy going around. But I think it's one of those things where it seems once they're thinned, they're thinned.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it's going to come back. It's like your ozone layer of protecting you from the sun.
Yeah. And I don't know why it's different than when, you know, you're a child and sometimes that almost seems to thicken, if you will. But when you have a near-death experience as a child or an adult, it seems that you can be sensitive from that point forward.
I don't know the answer to that. I think it's like some things where it's like, oh, it just grows stronger and better. And then you get to a point where that's where it is. But then at a certain point in life, it can also be deteriorated, or it can stay just fine if nothing happens to it and it stays healthy. It's just one of those. It's all theoretical, of course. But I think it just might be one of those things in life, like other parts of our health and our bodies are, where that's just how they work.
Sure.
And we just don't really fully grasp a lot about that. Thank you for sharing that experience with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Alexis writes in, "Hi, I'm Alexis from Fresno, California. Like many, I've been catching up on all the podcasts in order, and I was so excited to find out that you played my story on the demonic episode. This is a long one, so I'll jump right into my mom's story. So when she was younger, around 7 years old, she lived in this two-story house in Cincinnati, Ohio. She had a reoccurring dream every night that this man would come out of a trash can that was filled with water, like a portal. She called him the Blue Man. In this dream, he'd come into their house, and immediately my mom, her older sister, and brother would go downstairs and hide in the closet. And once the Blue Man finds them, he would try to get in the closet by chopping the door down. However, right before the Blue Man could get to them, my grandmother would walk in through her front door and it would disappear. One night, my grandmother was gone and my mom, her brother, and sister were all sleeping in the same room. The room was small and a bunk bed was shared by her brother and my sister. My mom had a bed to herself, which faced the door that allowed her to see the hallway. There was a stairwell next to the room with the steps having a specific creaking to them. The first two creaks happen at the bottom of the steps, and the last creak is towards the top of the steps. Now, my mom is lying down in her bed, and she wakes up from hearing a loud thud on their bedroom window. She describes this as the sound of a trash can lid hitting the window, and out of fear, she wakes her sister up, crying that the Blue Man is coming, the Blue Man is coming. Of course, her sister, thinking she was just having the same bad dream, and told her to go back to sleep. She may have listened, except for the fact that at the bottom of the steps, she and her sister heard the first creak of the steps. Realizing their mom wasn't home, my mom ran over to my sister. Her sister was still unsure, so they called out in hopes that their mom would call back saying she was home. But instead, they heard the second creaking of the steps. Their brother was woken up by their crying and helplessness. My mom and aunt exclaimed that they hear and they heard the stairs creaking and that the blue man was coming. My uncle, like my aunt, didn't believe them at first, and he was able to calm them down enough to be quiet. Listening in the darkness, they hear the final creak of the steps sound. They were all cuddled up and crying by this point, and from the steps, they see a tall, dark shadow figure coming towards them as if something was approaching the doorway to their room. Just as it seemed, someone was about to enter their room. They heard the front door open from downstairs, with my grandma loudly making her way into the house. The dark figure disappeared. There are many other stories that happened in this house, like they used to have all their board games up on a shelf. They had been up there for years with a multitude of collected dust, and suddenly, one by one, they started flying off the shelf. To this day, my uncle will not admit he cried that night, or even that the Blue Man gave them a visit. But it was Blue Man. But was it Blue Man, or just something imitating my mom's dreams to give them a scare? Or maybe it's just something that wants someone to play with. I have plenty of my own experiences that will forever remain in my mind. I do plan to send in my stories that I've experienced, mainly about a poltergeist that has followed my family around for generations and now haunts me. Love you guys. Enjoy your night or day. Alexis.
I think it could be the same type of deal where this Blue Man thing haunted the mom and now it haunts the other kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think that it's a possibility that it could be something else pretending to be this, knowing that that's been talked about and kind of like, ooh, I'm going to pretend to be that. So that's what they think I am.
I was going to say, what came first, the dream or the Blue Man, or is the Blue Man, influencing the dream to be seen, or exactly what you just said, mm-hmm. where is it popping out because it knows that that is a trigger point of fear
mm-hmm.
to make itself known as.
I could see it go either way, but I'm almost leaning more towards as it's a passed down
mm-hmm.
terror because of the poltergeist that was mentioned.
Yeah. Creepy story. Thank you so much for calling. Of course, all I'm picturing is a member of the Blue Man group haunting someone's house,
yeah.
carrying a drum around and hitting it harshly. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Joe writes in, so I work from home and watch my 3-year-old son due to a couple of disabilities. My son and I were completing a puzzle at the kitchen table when we heard an odd noise outside the front of the house. The sound was familiar yet odd, in that it sounded like a combination between a high-pitched scream and a loud, low decibel thump. The kind you can feel in your chest. I can tell it wasn't just me because my boy asked me, "What was that, Daddy?" I didn't instantly go into the paranormal as I rationalized it could have easily been someone slamming on their tires or wrecking since those are somewhat similar sounds. I walked outside while telling my son to stay with our fantastic, loyal, protective dog, Odin, who's rather large and very protective of us. Not to mention he's a better judge of character than I am, so I felt he'd be safer inside with him. As I left my porch, I noticed how quiet my surroundings are. It's winter, so animal sounds are not as expected. However, I'm roughly 1/4 mile from a very busy highway, and the road noise can be heard. This is in the afternoon, so lunch traffic should have been heard. I look around and I notice only one person outside, an old man, most likely in his 70s or 80s, walking slowly down the road on the other side of the street, adjacent to my neighbor directly across the street from my house. He was wearing a blue rain jacket zipped all the way up with the hood up, skinny and frail with a very small gait, and it wasn't raining. I walked down the mailbox to get a better look down the street and to check the mailbox, and after seeing nothing either way down the street and grabbing the scant pieces of mail in the box, I began to walk uphill back towards my house. My back was turned towards the man because seeing older people walking in my neighborhood is a common occurrence, as I believe we are the youngest family in the neighborhood, and my wife and I are in our 30s. I'm not a paranoid person, however, I'm very aware of my surroundings. So I cast a look over my left shoulder at the man who was now directly in front of my house across the street. He had stopped walking and was staring blankly right at me. I lift my hand in a casual wave and say hi, and he returns to the blank stare, mouth half agape, without making a sound. I continue walking, careful to keep him in my peripherals, as I'm already getting a dread vibe and feel my hair standing on end. Feeling silly, I turn around and ask him if he needed some help or if he was lost. As I do, I realize that something isn't natural with the man. He's shaking all over, mouth half agape, and his eyes are all black. At that point, I just turn tail and jog up to my house to be with my son and arm myself. I'm not sure why I grabbed my firearm, because I'm sure it would be pointless against anything paranormal, but it made me feel a tiny bit better while I struggled to hold my composure for my son's sake. As soon as I get inside, I feel a trickle on my upper lip. As I bring my hand down from my face, I notice that my nose is bleeding. I haven't had a nosebleed in 10 years, when I used to do amateur fighting. I quickly grab tissue to stop the geyser that is my nose and run to the window after deadbolting my door to find that the man was gone. I can get a clear view down either side of the street, so I'm not sure where he went. Never seen the man before, so he wasn't a nearby neighbor. The speed he would have had to run betrayed his age and physicality, so I'm at a total loss at what happened that day. My mind goes from aliens to black-eyed geriatrics. Is that a thing? I think the kids have cornered that market. Anything that anyone could advise me would be most appreciated, as I'm a hardcore fan of horror in all of its aspects and not easily shaken, but I've been looking over my shoulder ever since. Thank you for sharing this story. If it makes a podcast, I'm just about to sign up to be an EPP member. You guys are great. Thanks, Joe.
I like Black Eyed Geriatrics.
That's a new one.
I would go with something along those lines, just because of, you know, it sounded like it wasn't where the eyes are just hollow and there's nothing there. It sounded like it had eyes, but they were black, like black-eyed children.
And you know what? I honestly, this may sound horrible, depending on how young the children are.
Mm-hmm.
If it was, you know, like a 5 to maybe a 12-year-old, I'd feel really fairly safe. I think you start getting older, then you start to worry about, is this like some sort of, you know, teenager that has other mm-hmm. reasons to try and get into my house?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it's an innocent, helpless kid, you know, that, you're not worried about them trying to overtake you.
Yeah.
You get like some, you know, really, you know, well-built 15-year-old athlete that's trying to break into your house.
A football player.
Yeah. You know, you're not, it could be kind of a fight. You're feeling pretty safe with the little kids, if they're black-eyed children, though never a good idea to invite them into
your
house.
Yeah, don't let them in.
But I think the other group that you would also feel very safe about is someone in their 80s or 90s.
Well, especially if you live in a neighborhood where that's, you know,
yeah,
most of the people.
Where if they're showing up to your porch in distress,
mm-hmm.
it's like, okay, they're fairly frail. They're not probably going to try and attack me. I'll do what I can to help them. So I could see that being another area of, if it's something that's dark, that's trying to mm-hmm. imitate something frail and helpless, you got both ends of the spectrum that could possibly be going after. I wonder if we'll hear more stories.
I could see that, because it just goes back to the fact that black-eyed children aren't really children. There's something dark and trying to get your, you know,
trust.
Your trust. Yeah. And this is doing the same thing.
It's playing on your humility and your trust. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
That's a new one.
Kind of creeps me out, because we are like the youngest in our neighborhood too.
We are.
So that's kind of weird, because there's all kinds of retired people walking all the time in our neighborhood.
I'm always swerving around older folks going out for walks.
Well, not swerving like you're just about to hit them, but... I always get as far as possible around them, just so that they know that I saw them.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah. I haven't had to like swerve, but this is a curvy, hilly neighborhood.
Yes.
And there's areas where it's pretty blind turns mm-hmm. and you're either, you kind of got to stay in your lane in case another car is coming in the other lane, because they're not going to see you either. Mm-hmm. And that's the part that always kind of freaks me out, especially right down our road. There's one curve like that. And I'm always seeing people walking right there.
Sure.
So I'm always going really, really slow. Sometimes I feel bad because I think they think I'm tailing them. And it's like, why is this car driving really slow behind us? It's like, because I can't gun it around you mm-hmm. in case there's a car coming. Because sometimes there is a car gunning it the other way.
Sure.
And then we're both going to go flying into the old people.
It's a blind hill. You can't see what's coming.
And in their defense, there's no sidewalk. There's no, I mean, you have to really be walking in like piles of leaves. Mm-hmm. So it's not a win situation. It's just a place you shouldn't walk.
It's not that bad. I mean, most of the time they hear you coming and they'll stop and get over.
Yeah.
Sometimes they have their earmuffs on and maybe their earbuds under their earmuffs.
Sure.
And it's kind of like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you need to watch out.
I'm surprised there's not more incidents of people being hit, quite honestly.
Well, I think that, you know, we're all very diligent because we understand that this is a everyday thing.
Everybody's pretty safe. Just, you know, not intention. I don't think he's trying to gun them down. It's just, you know, or run them over.
Watch, it'll be our kid when they learn how to drive that takes out the older people in the neighborhood. God,
that's horrible.
Jeez, I mean.
Yeah.
There's another family that has grandkids and they speed down our road.
Yeah. Like, it's been golf carts for a while, but I think like one of them got their license.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's good times. Priscilla writes in, this story is about my great grandfather who lived at the time in a little town in Mexico called La Soledad. This happened around the 1900s when he was about in his 30s because of the events that I'm about to tell you. He suffered from severe trembling in his hands. It all started one night with my grandfather and great-grandmother were sleeping when we heard his name being called out by a woman. Pablo, Pablo. As he woke up, he noticed at the foot of his bed was a woman wearing a white dress. He got scared and woke up my great-grandmother yelling to her to look out. Look, do you see her at the foot of the bed? But she could not see anything and was confused and did not know what he was talking about. He kept pointing to the foot of the bed, but she just blew it off and told him he was probably dreaming. The next night, the same thing happened. Pablo, Pablo. He woke up and was terrified once again, shaking my great-grandmother, telling her that if she could see the woman that was at the foot of the bed. Once again, she brushed it off and told him that he was probably dreaming. This continued happening repeatedly, night after night, for 5 years. Now, my great-grandparents were very Catholic, and they would attend church almost every day of the week. Once my great-grandmother started believing him, they started blessing this house, but it was unsuccessful. So they decided to talk to a priest. The priest told him that next time she would appear to ask her what she wanted. So he did. That same night, he saw her again, and he asked her, "What do you want?" He kept asking her for several nights without response until finally one night she responded to him. "I need you to complete a religious promise for me that I could not finish while I was alive." So she told him that he needed to go to a specific church and bring specific candles with 3 gold coins to a specific saint. He said yes, that he would do it, and asked her to please leave him alone after that. And she said yes. So my grandparents went to the church, brought everything that she had asked, and left the items to the saint that she had wanted. Several nights passed without her appearing, until one night she appeared again and thanked him for keeping his promise. As she was thanking him, she extended her hand out to him. I imagine this was a way of her saying thank you to him. My great-grandfather says that he started reaching out his hand to her, but then quickly retracted his hand, scared, hitting my great-grandmother with his elbow, waking her up. He says that the reason he retracted his hand was because he remembered a myth where if a spirit or ghost extends their hand out to you, one should not take their hand because if not, the spirit would take you with them. So in other words, you would die. After that night, he never saw her again, but ever since then, he developed severe trembling in his hands. The doctors never diagnosed him with Parkinson's disease, so no one could really explain why his hands trembled so severely. The one thing we know is that the trembling began when the woman started appearing to him. The trembling only happened in his hands, and even though he was small at the time, I do remember him trembling all the time. The trembling never progressed, it was just in his hands, and he trembled all his life until his death at the age of 94. I'm curious to hear what you guys think about this story. What I find odd is it was never medically diagnosed. He was never medically diagnosed with Parkinson's disease, and he had to live with that all of his life. Thank you for reading my story. Hope you guys liked it. I really love your show. Just started listening to it about 2 weeks ago, and I enjoy it very much. Have a great day, guys.
There are other medical conditions that can bring on a trembling like that.
Sure.
That makes you think of Parkinson's. Mm-hmm. And some of those are stress related. So I could see it being something like that versus, mm-hmm. you know, you automatically think of Parkinson's. It could be something else. But I almost wonder if this was kind of a a punishment for not taking her hand.
Okay.
You know?
Sure. I mean, if you're going down the paranormal route of it, mm-hmm. being connected, I could see that being a possibility. I could see the other possibility being just an anxiety brought on thing, mm-hmm. where it was such a disturbing experience, such a traumatic experience, that it triggered something, mm-hmm. and then just resonated that way. And maybe the medical workup that he was given wasn't to the level of being able to get down to those levels and those brass tacks of, well, what is really causing this? Maybe it was just ruling out Parkinson's. And if it's not that, well, then at least it's, you don't have to do these drugs, but we'll just see if anything, if it keeps happening or whatever. And if it just ended up maintaining at that level, but nothing else is happening, it was just kind of brushed off as, well, it's just happening, but you'll be fine.
Sure.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So depending on how that workup went, you know, it's hard to know, but I could see it being something related to the paranormal, not necessarily like a curse put on saying, here, you're going to shake now, but more so this experience ended up triggering this anxiety response,
yeah.
of the shaking.
Yeah.
So there you go. Lots of ways of looking at it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Christopher writes in, hello, Tony and Jenny Brewski. I've been listening to you all for a while now and have sent in stories and enjoy listening to everyone else's stories. Please keep up the good work. Love what you do and all the listener submissions. I've been entertained by ghostly adventures since having experiences with my friend. Nowadays, he's in denial and will say, I don't believe that stuff. You all know what that stuff means. He said things in the past were very odd and weird. I can't explain it, but he still doesn't believe in it. I believe in it, and so do some new friends that I have, and they've had similar experiences since I used to live in Connecticut and others, and I talk to live in New England as well. This story starts by me finding a Ouija board in my grandparents' attic. This was stuffed in a box and covered in dust. I was excited and nervous to use it and to see if it works. Since I was about 14 at the time, I didn't drive, so I snuck it into my mom's car in the trunk. We were cleaning the house and attic out because my grandmother just passed and grandfather a few years before, so we were all cleaning it to put it on the market. I just wanted to clarify why I was there. Well, once done and back home, my mom went in the house. I snuck the game into the game room. That night or the next, few friends came over and I got candles and all. My sister caught wind of what I was doing, and her and her friends wanted to partake in the so-called adventure and fun. So we all got together, now with candles and a bunch of us. We lit the candles and all examined the board. Just about to get going, my mom barges in the room, freaks out, grabs the board. She's always tame and nice. Not so tame and nice, screaming at us all, mostly my sister and me. She said, I never want to see this board again. Get it out of my house now. She took it and did something with it. Found out my crazy aunt, I mean crazy, took it and wanted it. Not sure what happened with her or the board. I asked my mom the next day or so what that was all about, and she said, sit down. I did. She said, I never want to see that board or hear of it again. The board is very old, and I'm still freaked out by it. She told me a story when she was little with her friend, and they wanted to use it, so they did. They lit candles, she said, and didn't think it would work, just thought it was a dumb game. She started to ask it questions. First, who are you? It said its name. Then she said, what's your last name? It answered. So now, she said, Mister. And so, are you friendly or nice? It said, I am neither. I am dead. Now, I guess they were freaked out a bit, so they asked, where are you buried? It stated, I am buried in the graveyard in the same town in Connecticut where my mom lived at the time. She said, where in the graveyard are you buried? It stated that I am buried behind a big oak tree in the graveyard. She said, what's your birth date and the day you died? It told them the day he was born and the day he died. It did not ask a question, it just wrote it was murdered. They freaked out and closed the game. Next day, two of them took their bikes to the graveyard that was close to the house to take a look. They entered the graveyard and found the big oak tree that was there. At this moment, they were freaked out more than everything. It was true so far. They went to the tree, and behind the big oak tree, there was a grave, and they read it. It was the same name and dates of birth of death. They freaked out and got out of there. Took the game, threw it in the attic. She's a believer in the afterlife and said that she had that experience, and luckily, that was all it did. She didn't want me or anyone else to use it again. We never did. From that story, at least I did not. My sister did with someone else's, which I'll tell you later. Gives me goosebumps every time I say it. Thanks, all. I enjoy your podcast and all the listeners' experiences.
Being that that was the only thing that happened, was just leading them to an actual grave that existed and nothing else ever happened, maybe it really was the ghost of that person.
I believe that you can get either or. I don't think you're always just getting evil spirits or angels or whatever you want to think about through the boards. It's just, it's not, I don't think you're really guaranteed what you're going to get.
No.
That's the problem. Even people with a lot of experience in that. It's like dialing a random phone number saying, I want to get a nice person on the line. It's like you could end up getting a serial killer. You could end up getting the nicest person in the world. I mean, you just don't know what you're going to get.
Sure.
And that's what it is. So I think they lucked out and had a experience that made them go, oh, there is some legitimacy to this thing.
Yeah.
I wonder what the folks at, is it Parker Brothers who makes the Ouija board now, or Milton Bradley? Somebody owns the rights to the thing.
I don't know.
And publishes it or manufactures it. You know, what the people who are at the company that do it, obviously they didn't invent the Ouija board, but they manufacture it and market it in the U.S. What are those meetings like? You know, it's like, well, we've improved the Ouija board this year. You know, it's never a product that really you see any changes to. Mm-mm. Like Mousetrap, you look at those boxes and go, oh my gosh, look at these new contraptions on the Mousetrap box or what have you. There's never like the updated version of Ouija yet.
Mm-mm.
I wonder if there ever will be. Like a electronic Ouija board where it's... more so it speaks to you, or I don't know.
It's like ghost radar.
Yeah, essentially the I know there's apps that are Ouija apps. I know somebody's going to say that. So I know that exists. But I'm wondering the actual, you know, the box of it. How does it new and improve for 2018?
I don't know. I mean, it's been the same way for a very long time.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Unless they start putting in new, you know, new options on words beyond hello and goodbye.
Yeah.
Yes and no.
Be a good question. You just like you interview the, you know, the marketing person for whatever the company is. Like, so tell me, how does this Ouija board work?
They suddenly put dude and bro on the board or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Update. It's emoji. Mm-hmm. An emoji Ouija board. How would
all you would get is
Om Ouija.
Om Ouija.
I'm trying to think what you'd call it.
That was a lot of effort. I could tell.
It was.
No, I mean, I forgot what I was going to say.
It just keeps going to poop.
Yeah, I was going to say, all I would get would be the poop emoji.
It's like, why does it keep saying poop? I think we invented a new toy, the emoji Ouija board.
Mm-hmm.
Why would that's a great idea. Or at least add it to the Ouija board.
It's just as accurate as if you got a string of emojis from your friend on a text.
Exactly.
It's like, really, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
It can still spell things. It's still the alphabet there. But you've added the emoji option. So the... Because I know there can be confusion sometimes when you text someone as to the tone of your voice and how you're feeling when you're saying it. Sometimes you'll add, the only emoji I ever used since 1998 is just simply a smiley face.
Or poop. Sometimes you send poop.
It's rare that I send poop.
You send poop to the kids.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just, and I still use the colon and the parenthesis. That's how, I don't look for the special faces. But... now you can do the Ouija board and you can get a better tone on when it's telling you it wants to kill something. If it's just kind of having a bad day and then it goes to the kind of wink emoji, or if it has like an evil smiley face and horns, you know, it could be really specific. Oh, it doesn't really. It's just having a bad day. It's saying it like, I just want to kill something. You know, you can get a better idea on your demon. And the level at which it's trying to communicate with you.
I think that would just make it more confusing.
The new emoji Ouija board. We got something new here. All right. When it happens next year, all right, somebody's going to find it and send us the picture of it. Just wait.
Then somebody else already had the idea.
That's true. Or some people make Ouija boards. Maybe someone will make one and then tell us how it works.
Let's not encourage
that. I'm not saying you should do it. I'm saying if you do it, let me know. There you go. Samantha writes in, "Hey, Tony and Jenny, I'm following back up with more interesting happenings in my home. I've written in before about the hat man that has appeared to me and a shadow woman that has appeared to my daughter. I'm not sure if you had the opportunity to read those stories on the air, as I'm still working through the archived episodes. A few weekends ago, I was home with my kids. My son woke up before me, walked into our living room, and he was sitting in the floor playing the Xbox. I said good morning, walked through the living room to our kitchen to make myself some coffee. While I'm waiting for the coffee, I'm doing random chores around the kitchen, loading the dishwasher, etc. Make my cup of coffee, and I walk back into the living room with my son. I notice that the front door is standing wide open. Glass door in the front of it is closed, so I asked my son if he opened the door, and he said, no, Mommy. The man did it. I stare at him for a minute and then start walking through the house thinking some stranger has wandered into our house. I don't see anyone, so I go back and close the lock on the front door. I sit with Jacoby, watch him play games until my mom comes into the living room. She and I go into the kitchen for coffee, and I tell her about the creepy thing that happened with the door. She told me the wind must have blown open the door. When we walk back into the living room, the door is open again. Blown open through the glass door. I look at my mom and walk to shut the door and make sure it latches, pushing it closed with my hips and double-checking the lock. I go down the hall to check on my daughter, and my mom goes into the kitchen. She comes back into the living room and yells for me to come back into the living room. The door that's been shut and locked again is standing wide open. I say aloud, I'll leave the door open if that's what you want. Later that afternoon, when I'm leaving the house with my kids, we're walking out the front door and my mom will be at home alone for the rest of the evening. I say, I'm going to shut this door. Please leave it closed because mom will be here on her own. The door has not opened on its own since. Now, last night, or well, early this morning, about 3:30 a.m., I woke up just randomly. I was lying in my dark room, eyes closed, trying to go back to sleep. As I'm lying there, I hear my door creak open, and I hear footsteps approach the side of my bed. I'm used to hearing this because often one of my kids will come into my room and crawl into my bed to sleep. So I lay there waiting to feel them crawl under the covers. I wait, and I feel nothing. I open my eyes, and I look to the side of my bed, and nobody was there. My bedroom door is wide open. I get up to check to see if maybe one of the kids just decided not to get into bed. I reach their room, and they're both sound asleep. I go back to my room, lay down, and just say, not today, before I went back to sleep. I'll keep you all updated as strange things continue to happen. And if we have any more sightings of the Hat Man or Old Hag, I have so many stories to share also. Keep up the great work, guys. Hope to catch up soon. Thanks, Sam.
At least it stopped opening the front door when it was asked to.
Yeah.
And didn't mess with it again.
It's like a security hazard. Mm-hmm. It's like a ghost that likes to play with lighters.
Yeah.
It's like, or turn the oven on. We get that. So it's like, don't do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, at least it did that or stopped doing that. 855-853-4802 is our number. Aaron writes in, hi, Tony and Jenny. Just recently discovered your podcast and have been binge listening ever since. I've been obsessed with the paranormal ever since I was little. So this show is right up my alley. Today, I thought I'd share a couple of my stories. In college, I had a friend tell me her ghost story. Her parents lived in Colorado at the time and had a bed and breakfast. It was located across the street from their house. The B&B was originally a home for children back in the 1800s and has since then been converted into what is today. My friend would tell me stories about a little ghost boy named Raymond. Raymond lived in the children's home. He died after falling into the well in the backyard. My friend's bedroom was on the second floor, and at night, she sometimes hear little taps on her bedroom window. She knew it was Raymond, that he just wanted to play with her. She would tell him that she's trying to sleep, and he would leave her alone. There was one time when a couple from Arizona stayed at the B&B, and when they went back home, strange things started happening. It appeared that Raymond got attached to the couple and decided to go home with them. The couple packed a suitcase with toys and sent it to the B&B, and Raymond returned. My friend said that Raymond was happy to be back. It had been a little lonely without him. My second story may not be seen as paranormal, but I like to think that something, not human, was at work. A few years ago, my family had to put down our dog. It was a hard time since we had him for 12 years. My parents had him cremated, and a few weeks later, we spread his ashes on the bike trail where we take him for walks. At one point, my dad had to tie his shoe. There was one of those green electrical boxes nearby, so my dad lifted his foot onto it to tie his shoe when he found a bracelet. He asked me if I wanted it. I said, sure. When he gave it to me, I noticed there was a charm on it that said XOXO. Deep down, I knew that some little girl had accidentally left her bracelet behind, but part of me believed that my dog had left this bracelet at the top to let us know that he loved us. I still have the bracelet and will sometimes wear it when I'm missing him. I'll try to get my other stories in soon. Thanks.
I think it's more than a coincidence. Maybe, you know, I mean, obviously something probably human left the bracelet behind, but it could have been kind of a paranormal lead to it.
Kind of a everything happens for a reason type thing.
Yeah.
So I could see that.
Yeah.
I could. Thank you for sharing those experiences with us here on today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. I have a 5-year-old to go turn into a zombie.
Yeah, I know you've been looking forward to that all day.
She's excited too.
Yeah.
It's like when I got home earlier, she's like, Daddy, is it time to turn me into a zombie?
Let me pull her hair back so we don't get fake blood in her hair.
is that a sentence you ever thought you'd have to say out loud?
No, but you know, that is the life we lead.
Here you go. All right. Okay, it's way past Halloween when you're hearing this, but happy Halloween again, everyone. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Become an EPP, ghostpodcast.com. Keep us on the air at ghostpodcast.com. Get all those bonus episodes. Happy Halloween, everybody. Post-Halloween. Yeah, that's after, right?
Yeah.
Okay. For Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online. Zombie time!